Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Following is called Wanted Ambassadors. Hours will be $168 per week, pay is minimal to zero. No experience required, but toughness and resiliency is helpful. No retirement provided in this life, but unlimited benefits in the next. Working conditions are not the best. There are hassles, discrimination, put-downs, and even persecutions. In this job, it is mostly give and no take. There are few breaks, no vacations, no sick leave, no material bonuses, few compliments, and only one promotion, which comes at the end of your life. Applicants must be willing to sacrifice, study long, pray hard, labor unceasingly, and must be willing to be called a fool. The job is not easy. You will often work alone, but you'll never be alone. People in this line of work are in a minority. Applicants must be willing to share their testimony to people and in crowds that are both sympathetic and antagonistic, both understanding and prejudiced. Applicants must realize that identification with our organization makes them unpopular with the majority. Applicants must be prepared to live or go to any place on this earth. All applicants are required to understand before they sign up that they must relinquish all rights, legal or otherwise, to all personal property such as cars, houses, real estate, money, recreational vehicles, stocks, IRA accounts, in fact, everything. Though this position is hazardous, there are great rewards. Joy and satisfaction accompanies the work. We believe that in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Those interested may apply at the foot of the cross. There is no legal age limitation, and whosoever will may come. God's will and desire is for an army of faithful ministers who are willing to do whatever it takes to stand for the Lord and for His truth today and to make His word and the gospel known. The Apostle Paul and Tychicus are examples to us of faithful ministers. They both lived like this and for these things in their Christian lives, and they gave their lives wholly to the Lord and in service to Him. And God desires that for us too. He wants us to put our application in and devote our lives to be His faithful ambassadors. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 21 says, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." Paul had told the Ephesians about praying specifically and intelligently in chapter 6 and verse 18. And now he speaks of sending Tychicus so they could know my affairs and how I do, and thus give the Ephesians information about Paul and know how they could pray specifically for him and his needs. Tychicus, says Paul, would tell them my affairs or what he was doing. And he would say, how I do, or how he was doing. So he was going to let them know what he was doing and how he was doing. Paul knew the Ephesian church cared for him and would want to know of his well-being and the details relating to him and his situation in Rome, and he was sensitive to that. So Tychicus was to inform them of Paul's welfare, how he was holding up in his imprisonment, how he was doing health-wise and emotionally, what was taking place in his life day by day, what he was doing in his ministry for the Lord, even while he was in prison. Tychicus appears five times in the New Testament. We first read of Tychicus in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, where we learn that he was from Asia Minor. That's where Ephesus was, in Asia Minor, so maybe he was there from there. And we read that in Acts 20 that he was part of a group of men who helped Paul deliver the love offering from the Gentile churches to the poor Jewish saints in Jerusalem. So Tychicus joined Paul during his third missionary journey and traveled with him to Jerusalem And from this point forward, Tychicus was one of Paul's faithful companions. Tychicus may have trusted Christ during Paul's 2 to 3 year ministry in Ephesus, the capital of Asia Minor. What we do know for sure, though, is that Tychicus was willing to leave all that he knew in order to follow his Lord. He left his home, he left his family, and he left his friends in Asia. Titus 3:12, we read of Paul telling Titus how he was considering sending Tychicus to Crete to relieve Titus there. It says, "When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter." Crete wasn't an easy place to minister for the gospel, as evidenced by the content of the book of Titus. You see that in Titus chapter 1 and verse 12, where it describes the residents of Crete and calls them Cretans or liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. In other words, they're deceptive, ruthless, lazy gluttons. That's not a very endearing compliment for those people. Though Paul wasn't sure who to send to temporarily replace Titus, the fact that Paul thought of sending Tychicus first showed that he knew Tychicus was reliable and would go if he asked him. And second, he knew Tychicus was capable to handle ministry there. Later, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:11 and 12, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." At the end of Paul's life, facing his execution, he requests Timothy to come to him. To make that possible, he sends a faithful and willing Tychicus to fill in for Timothy at the church in Ephesus, where Timothy was pastoring, while Timothy was away. It should be noted that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Unlike his countrymen from Asia, Tychicus had remained a faithful minister to Paul, faithful to the truth of the mystery until the end. So Tychicus was a pastoral fill-in, and he was a mailman, as we learn here. Here in Ephesians, we find that Tychicus was with Paul in Rome during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. He had proven himself to be loyal and trustworthy, and therefore he is given another important task by Paul, to deliver this letter to the Ephesians, and then afterward, to travel further inland to deliver the letters to the Colossians and to Philemon. Now talk about important mail to deliver. He had carried wealth before with that offering for the poor Jewish saints in Jerusalem. But now he's carrying amazing spiritual wealth and treasure. The incredibly precious truths for the body of Christ in the books of Colossians and this book of Ephesians, as we have gone through, these are of infinite value. Not only was Tychicus to deliver the letters, but he was instructed also here by Paul to deliver more information about the apostles' situation. Paul says here that Tychicus would make known to you all things in verse 21. In other words, he would tell them all the things that the Lord was doing in Rome. We can be sure Tychicus brought news of the progress and power of the gospel and how the gospel was going into uncharted territory, telling of the conversions in Rome, including those in the barracks of the Praetorian Guard and even in Caesar's own household. Paul had told the Philippians about this, and he said, "My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace." And then he says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Paul gives Tychicus a twofold commendation in verse 21. He was a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. From what we've learned in Scripture already, just as we've looked through the different verses mentioning Tychicus, we see that to be true. Being a part of the family of God, Tychicus was Paul's brother. He is our brother. We're going to meet him someday in glory. Family ties among our earthly families are strong, and the ties between believers are likewise strong, and sometimes even stronger than earthly family. We are one in Christ, and we are family in Him. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as brothers and sisters, watch out for each other, are there for each other, help each other, and try not to kill each other. So Tychicus was there for the Apostle Paul. Tychicus was also a faithful minister. Tychicus ministered to Paul, he ministered for Paul, then he ministered to the body of Christ in whatever way he was asked or led to do. Paul told the Corinthians that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, in 1 Corinthians 4:2. And Tychicus lived up to that requirement of God. Ignace Jan Paderewski, the famous Polish composer-pianist, was once scheduled to perform at a great American concert hall for a high society extravaganza. In the audience was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son. Weary of waiting, the boy slipped away from her side, strangely drawn to the Steinway on the stage. Without much notice from the audience, he sat down at the stool and began playing Chopsticks. The roar of the crowd turned to shouts as hundreds yelled, "Get that boy away from there! Get that boy away from that piano!" When Paderewski heard the uproar backstage, he grabbed his coat, rushed over, went behind the boy, reached around him from behind, and the master began to improvise a magnificent countermelody to Chopsticks. As the two of them played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, "Keep going. Don't quit, son. Don't stop. Keep going, son. Don't stop. Don't quit." And so the master works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he, our Lord, takes our Chopsticks and makes it a masterpiece. The Lord takes our surrender, our submission, our humble service, our simple labors, our work for Him, and by grace, the Lord uses it, and He uses us. And He tells us by His word that He wants us to be faithful, and He tells us to keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. Be faithful. Be consistent. Be dependable. Be reliable. Be devoted. Be trustworthy. Keep following. Keep following. Keep serving Me. And He who makes all things beautiful in His time works in and through our lives and makes our work pleasing and good and magnificent in His sight.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Things That Differ: The Fundamentals of Dispensationalism is a paperback 290-page book written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. Those who struggle with rightly dividing the word of truth will find this volume most helpful. Pastor Stamm gives the readers an in-depth look at the major differences between prophecy and the mystery. Every believer should read this work. This book, more than any other, has been used to bring people to an understanding of the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Vance Havner said, "God is faithful, and He expects His people to be faithful. God's Word speaks of faithful servants, faithful in a few things, faithful in the least, faithful in the Lord, faithful minister. God wants all of us to be His faithful ministers. And He wants us to be faithful to the truths contained in this letter to the Ephesians. To be faithful to the unity of the Spirit. To keep it, to guard it, and to stand for it. We are to be faithful to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. It's to be faithful to what God's doing today through Christ's heavenly ministry that He's carrying out right now. We are to be faithful to the good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10 tells us. We are to be faithful to live in light of our position in Christ, walking worthy of our calling, walking in love, walking as children of light, walking circumspectly and carefully for the Lord. We are to be faithful to the gospel of pure grace, that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works. We are to be faithful to be putting on the new man, to be putting on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to be a strong testimony to the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 22 says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." Paul says that he sent Tychicus to them for the same purpose, or for this very purpose, that they might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. But notice in verse 21, Paul was speaking of himself personally, as Tychicus was to let them know my affairs and how I do. In verse 22, he changes it to our affairs. Verse 22 is speaking of Paul and Tychicus and all of those associated with him in Rome. Paul wanted them to know about all those working with him in the furtherance of the gospel in Rome. In the letters to the Colossians and to Philemon, Paul speaks of Aristarchus and Epaphras, who were fellow prisoners with Paul, saluting the brother. Marcus, Demas, Justus, Luke were all fellow laborers in Rome with Paul in the ministry, we learn from Colossians 4 and Philemon. And Paul wanted the Ephesians to know about all their affairs in the gospel ministry and all of their labors together for Christ there. Tychicus was also sent, it says there, that he might comfort your hearts, verse 22. The term comfort speaks of bringing courage, strength, and cheer to their hearts. In other words, Tychicus was to encourage them. So Tychicus was sent for this very purpose, to inform them and to encourage them. And so Paul writes and sends a letter which would have done nothing but encourage them, and which continues to encourage believers to this very moment in the dispensation of grace. And Paul sends a man to encourage them also, who had proved to be nothing but an encouragement to himself in his ministry. So the man in chains sought the comfort and encouragement of others. Like Paul and like Tychicus, we too should be encouragers of the church. Max Licato writes the following, "I discovered the importance of encouragement in a half Ironman triathlon. After the 1.2-mile swim and the 56-mile bike ride, I didn't have much energy left for the 13.1-mile run. Neither did the fellow jogging next to me. I asked him how he was doing and soon regretted posing the question. 'This stinks,' he said. 'This race is the dumbest decision I've ever made.' He had more complaints than a taxpayer at the IRS. My response to him? Goodbye. I knew if I had listened too long, I'd start agreeing with him. I caught up with a 66-year-old grandma. Her tone was just the opposite. 'You'll finish this,' she encouraged. 'It's hot, but at least it's not raining. One step at a time. Don't forget to hydrate,' she said. 'And stay in there,' she told me. I ran next to her as long as I could. My heart was lifted, but my legs were aching, and I finally had to slow down. 'No problem,' she said as she waved and kept on going." Max Licato asks, "Which of these two describes the counsel you seek?" We should be comforters and encouragers like Paul and Tychicus and like that energetic grandma. God's will is that we build each other up. We all need encouragement in the race of the Christian life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Great words of the gospel were contained in Paul's benediction and closing of the letter. And with simple dignity and eloquence, Paul gathers together four spiritual graces frequently mentioned by the apostle: peace, love, faith, and grace. And Paul's desire is that they be the experience and commitment of the Ephesians and the body of Christ. Paul says, peace be to the brethren, family of God. The Ephesians and us, too, find peace by reading this letter, by knowing our position in Christ in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessings, that we are redeemed, forgiven, and accepted in Christ, that we have a heavenly inheritance and full access to God. Paul says, love with faith. Earlier in the letter, Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. And Paul wanted this to continue with them, as you see this here. This is very simply how the Christian life is to be lived. Love with faith. With love toward all and faith toward God. Faith speaks of the believer's vertical relationship with God. Love speaks of the believer's horizontal relationship with people. It's been said that love is the outgrowth of faith. As we live by faith in Christ and we grow in our faith and we grow in His Word and we see His great love in it, His love will mark our lives. Paul says peace and love have their source in God. The source of all blessing is from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All our spiritual blessings are from Him. You see similar wording in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 about our spiritual blessings. The Father and the Son are the author of true peace and love. And Paul wanted that peace and love, which flows from God, worked out and lived out by faith through the power of God in obedience to the Word of God. This peace and love is the result of Christ's life and work within each of us, and it's the result of our personal growth and faith in Him. And in the measure that we yield to the Lord and grow in His Word and apply it to our hearts, He works His peace and He works His love out through us. And finally, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul extends grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace introduced the letter. Grace concludes the letter. Grace permeates the letter in between. Grace is the key word of the entire letter of Ephesians. Ephesians tells us in the dispensation of grace, we are saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace. We have a standing in Christ by grace, and we're empowered to live for the Lord by grace. God's grace, not guilt, not legalism, is the motivation for us to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord and obey the instruction of His Word. As we do so, we will be transformed by grace. In verse 23, Paul was speaking of love for the saints, and here he speaks of love for the Lord. And he extends grace to all those who love the Lord in sincerity, which is just synonymous in another way of saying believers. As true believers love the Lord in sincerity. The words in sincerity speak of an incorruptible, genuine love. We who have trusted Christ as our Savior genuinely love the Lord because of His genuine love for us and dying for us and for our sins. So love meets love here. And we love Him because He first loved us. And God would have us manifest our sincere love for Him, not only just from our lips, but with godly lives which honor and glorify our Savior as we walk in His love. And so Paul closes the letter with a benediction, which reflects the very themes of this epistle: peace, love, faith, and grace. We see those truths, those words in this letter. For Christ is our peace, who hath made both one, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your love unto all the saints, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, but speaking the truth in love, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, for by grace are ye saved through faith. In Christ we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, till we all come in the unity of the faith, above all, taking the shield of faith. Grace be to you from God our Father, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And so may we apply obediently and in the power of the Spirit the truths of peace, love, with faith, grace, and all the transforming truths taught in this letter, which yield God's blessing and joy in our life. Thank you for tuning in to Transformed by Grace.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.